How many women do you know in the machine industry? Just raise your hands if you do. I don't know of any, but I've had the honor and privilege to speak with such a woman, Ashley Moyer, who's the owner of Frontline Metal, and she is living her dream. She's working in an industry dominated by men, and she is thriving, growing internally, has faith in herself, and she isn't afraid to fail. And she uses every opportunity to grow and learn. Join me as I talk with Ashley in this episode of Why Not You. All right, everybody. It's another episode of Why Not You podcast. And I am joined today, Ashley Moyer with Frontline Sheet Metal. Man, she's a CEO of an amazing company, and they do custom sheet metal designs for all types of businesses. It's just interesting how I met her at a retirement party. I saw a piece of her work actually on the walls, and I was like, who made this? And they said, well, Ashley did, and she's right there. Let me introduce you. Next thing you know, I'll walk up to Ashley, and we start communicating, and she actually did a piece of work for me.
I hope it turned out good.
It did. But anyways, here's Ashley. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm doing well. With your business and everything, I know it's taking off. I mean, I had a chance to look at the website and I was like, wow, I didn't realize how much of a production it actually is. And when I saw it, I was like, man, Ashley is in charge of this. Good job. Good
job. It's not me making the stuff anymore. So yeah. I used to do it, but not me anymore. That's why I said I haven't even seen your sign yet. So I'm excited to see it.
Can you tell us a little bit? You actually get started in, I guess, your gift in just design work and just being an entrepreneur.
So I'm a trauma ICU nurse by trade. I don't know if I told you that.
No.
I worked at Mercy San Juan, and I was working trauma ICU. I was an ICU nurse for about 9 years. And I owned another company with my ex-husband. So we were already running a business. So this is my second business that I've started. So I'm fortunate enough that once I started this one, it wasn't my first rodeo in business. So I was still working as a nurse and running the other business. And I had a friend ask me to come look at his company to potentially buy it. And my vision for what his company was going to be a little bit different. He kind of liked the more cost-effective signs that are a little bit cheaper. And my vision was to create some really high-end luxury art. And so he let me start my company under his roof. And I started my company at his shop. And I got to learn everything that I know now from him and from his shop and working on his laser and doing powder coating at his shop and printing at his shop. And then once we started getting too big, I was able to buy my own machines and I broke out on my own. And that's how I got started. And I am not a designer. I have an eye for design, I guess, but this is why I hired designers, because they're really the artist. I'm not the artist. But I really enjoy it. I like machines. I like tools. I'm really handy. So tools are just kind of my little side project. I've always had side projects, building stuff. So this was really natural for me to just kind of play around with tools and automation and have a business. And that's how I got started.
But, it's always amazing just that the fact that you actually had an idea, you had a vision, and you wanted to implement your vision instead of being, I guess, limited by somebody else's vision, which was smaller than yours. You saw big picture. What they said was just a small version of you wanted.
This is a little different. I mean, I actually just had a conversation with him this week about him still wanting me to take over his business. So he still wants me to take it over.
Really?
Yeah. Which I'm not against, because, that company, I can have it kind of running differently, but I have my own vision for sure, which is why I chose to go on my own.
Yeah. Now, have you always been like a crafty person?
Yeah.
Have you really?
Yeah. I've like remodeled houses growing up, and I've always ended up every house I've bought, I've remodeled something, built benches, built whatever I can think of. I just like building stuff. That's when I was a nurse, you only work 3 to 4 days a week.
That's
what are you going to do? Before I had kids, what else are you going to do? So I just find projects and stuff to do, and which would be remodeling or building stuff. Yeah.
Now, was that something that you always kind of had a knack for, or did you learn it from
For
someone else?
building?
Yes.
My dad.
Your
My
dad.
dad is, yeah, he's a contractor. What, I mean, he's passed away now last year, but he was a fence contractor, and then always he I got the remodeling stuff from him. And yeah, my dad is the reason why I've always been handy. He always made sure that I knew how to work tools since I was a kid, so I was raised by him, so it definitely
Nice.
shows.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And so the amazing thing to me is that here you are, you're a woman business owner, and there are many women business owners, but not many in machinery, right?
Right. I'm always the only girl in the room, and I don't
Yeah.
even notice until somebody else tells me. Don't even realize it. But I mean, that's kind of when you're a woman business owner, you're always, almost always the only woman in the room.
Yeah.
So, and then I chose my main customer group is military and law enforcement and fire. So those are all men too. So I'm just surrounded by men all the time.
You are.
Yeah.
So what made you specialize or just kind of go after that niche market?
I've always, I was in the Navy Reserves. So I was a nurse in the nursed corps of the Navy. And my brother's military, he was a 0331 machine gunner in the Marine Corps. And he was in Afghanistan and Iraq. And then he wanted to be a police officer. But I've always just kind of had a heart for people who serve others in general. So, fire, police, military all, have a greater purpose of serving the general public. So for me, it's easy for me to have a passion for this group of people because they're all serving others. And I kind of got into it by doing a project for the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Strike Force. And that was the first big project that we did. And then our name kind of grew in law enforcement. And I've kind of even, I already had a love for law enforcement. And then now that I'm, kind of really in this community, my love for the law enforcement has grown a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was sort of by happenstance, but not really, because it is where my passion is serving people who serve others.
Right.
So, yeah, that's our main customer group.
Now, are you still in the reserve or no?
No. So, actually, I thought, because when you're an officer, you're forever an officer unless you resign your commission. So, I thought, why would I ever resign my commission? But they sent me, I guess they're getting rid of all of us that have just been sitting there. They sent me my final, like, you're out, like last
Wow.
year. So I joined in 2012 and then got out last year, I guess. Not by my choosing, but when you're an IRR, they can get you out anytime. Yeah.
That sounds like some definitive closure right there. Now you can never go back, huh?
Yeah, I know, because it's, you don't know if you're gonna, I got the paperwork that said you can resign your commission, and I was going back and forth. I'm like, oh no, and then COVID hit, and then they were, messaging us saying, if we're available to, get deployed or whatever, and of course I was. But at that point, I was like, do I resign right now? I have little kids, I have a business, I have two businesses, I'd have to shut down my business in order for me to deploy. And I was like, well, God will decide. God will decide if I'm going to get deployed or not, and I'll just go with whatever happens. And I never did. Never got called back. I even offered my services back at the hospital when COVID hit, and they never called me back. So,
Wow. Now,
yeah.
are you one of those types of people that where it's just hard for you to wake up in the morning and go to work?
No, I'm excited.
You're excited, huh?
Yeah, first thing when I wake up, I
Right.
don't feel like it's work. When
Exactly.
it's your love, I'm not. My kids ask if I'm, if I'm going to work or if I even like work. I'm like, if you love what you do, it's not work.
Right.
You don't have to drag me out of bed. But no, I love getting up to go to work. As soon as I get up, I'm working.
Are you really?
Yeah, I love it.
And so and that's one of the things I love about, finding people who are passionate about what they do, who love what they do. They just get up and it's their, I mean, it's part of who they are. It's part of their DNA. You have some people who are just working these jobs and they're really not passionate. They don't have no drive, no ambition whatsoever. But when you follow something that you absolutely love and you do it for a specific purpose and reason because it's part of who you are. It's not the same.
It's not. Actually, I don't even know what it's like to get that feeling. I've loved every job I've ever had when I was a server at a restaurant. I like working in general. Actually, I didn't like retail. I take it back. I didn't like retail.
Right.
But I think that it might just be maybe a personality thing, but if you are going with something that's where your heart is, you're never going to feel that drag, even on the hard days. The
Right.
hard days are not as hard because you're doing it because you have a greater purpose and passion.
So how is it that you were actually able to discover that purpose and passion in your
I've
life that
had
you
it
think?
since I was younger.
Really?
So I knew I wanted to be in the medical field. I actually said when I was a teenager and in college, I would never own a business ever. That sounded terrible. And I never wanted to own a business. And here I am quitting nursing and have a business. So you never know. But yeah, I've had it since I was a kid. I wanted to be serving others. And that's always been in my DNA. So going in the medical field, I had a huge passion for it. And then military too, loved it. I loved being in the Navy and I loved the camaraderie that we had. And then owning a business, it's a whole new adventure. Everything, you get to learn something new all the time. So if you have a curiosity for life and an excitement and a passion for life in general, I mean, there's almost nothing you can't conquer.
Ooh, that is deep. And not too many people have that, or they don't know how to find it or discover it, right? And so that's one of the purposes and main reasons for this podcast, to share stories like yours. So
Yeah, because how do you find it? That's the curiosity, right? How do you find that in that fire in your heart?
right.
How do you inspire somebody to find the fire?
And part of it's
That's
kind of
interesting.
testing different things. And if you don't have it, I mean, if you don't have it within you at this particular time, it's just a matter of just kind of going out, testing things. And if you're a person of faith, right, praying, maybe that could be a way, just to, or just align yourself with some people who might be doing some of the things that you might have an interest in. And you just never know how the chips may fall. You might find something that you're passionate about through other people.
Not being afraid of failure too.
Yeah.
That's another one. A lot of people don't start or do things because they're afraid to fail, but failure is just a learning lesson. I'll fail 600 times. That's fine.
Yeah.
There'll be one time.
Right.
There'll be one time that I'll learn from those 600.
Now, were there any, did you ever have like any doubts or fears that you actually had to overcome when you started your business?
Oh yeah. A lot. Mostly whether or not I was capable was, I can always be a helper. I'm a super good team player, super good helper, but can I do it myself? And do I have the capabilities in me to learn everything you need to learn, from finances to marketing to manufacturing to HR to, I mean, the amount of things you have to know as a business owner in e-commerce and manufacturing. And getting to know your market, the amount of things you have to learn is, if you think about it, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
But like if you just sit down and do things one chunk at a time and don't think about how much you have to learn, then so much. But also I kind of probably more recently, so when I first started the company, I just am curious in life. So I loved it when it was just me and I'm going into the shop and I'm making all the orders and I'm the one dealing with the customers and I'm the one having to do every step. It's fine because all you have to rely on is yourself. And when you're only relying on yourself and you know you can rely on yourself, it's not that crazy. Now you got to hire employees. And I don't have a problem giving up control once I teach an employee. Like there's a lot of business owners that have a big problem with giving up the control. I don't. I love giving up the control because that's one thing off my plate. But the problem that I have is failing the employee because if they fail at something, what did I do that I didn't prepare them? So did I not teach them something? Did I not put a process in place for them? Do they not have the tools they need to succeed? What could I have done differently as a business owner to help them succeed? So my hardest thing is taking on all the failures on me. And when the company was doing all direct to consumer home decor, we were just spending a crazy amount of money on marketing and losing a cra I mean, so much money. We were losing so much money. And I was starting to lose faith in my ability to have a company succeed because there's another really big company. They were succeeding and they're doing the direct to consumer. And how do I compete with them when they have the volume and they're in Alabama and they get to pay everybody for $8 an hour and I'm paying everyone here $15, $25 an hour, depending on,
Right.
like how do you compete? And then people online, they don't see a value and difference in you. So I started to lose faith in my ability to communicate a message that I'm different. And in January, I decided that I was going to kind of put both feet into this direction that I'm in now, which is serving law enforcement, government, military employees, and get rid of all of the marketing for direct to consumer and home decor and things like that. I got rid of all of it, which means that all of our revenue went down because now I'm not marketing anymore. I hired design team. So this is like full faith leap in and ruin your business to basically restart another one.
Right.
And that's what I did. Obviously, I still had a little bit of, meat to go on because I had the law enforcement relationships that I was starting to build. But and then I had to train a whole new staff, and training the new staff for the new vision took, I anticipated it taking 6 to 8 weeks, and it took 3 to 4 months. And I was starting to lose faith in, again, my ability to get the vision to be where I needed it to be in order for us to succeed. And once I kind of let the home decor side go behind me and put both feet into building new relationships, doors have opened for me that I don't know why. I don't know why these doors are opening, honestly. Why did I just get invited to the World Series for the Softball Police Association? Or like,
Wow.
why am I op getting these doors opened? But it's just putting full faith and putting all of your heart into one consumer group is essentially what I did. But it's genuine. It's not like I'm going to this consumer group looking at it as if, oh, here's a money-making opportunity. If
Right.
I was going at it that way, then it's not genuine and they're going to see right through it. Everyone will see right through it.
Right.
But it's my true heart is in building morale in this community. So my whole passion and everything in me wants to build morale in this community, and they see it, and that's why the doors are opening is what they tell me. But that's what they tell me. I don't know why,
Right.
but that's my fears is mostly failing others in general, every step of the way. If I fail you in your sign order, if I fail you, if I fail an employee, if I fail on a project, failing other people. I can fail myself 600 times, like I told you, but
Right.
failing you, that's not okay with me.
Right.
So
And it's
that's my most fear.
and I believe like one of the reasons, or just yeah, just one of the many reasons that doors are opening up for you is because of the value that you place on other people and your willingness to share and serve, right? And I think that's huge, especially anytime somebody catches your vision, it seems like it attracts more people when they believe in it, right? And it seems so once that happens, man, it seems like the floodgates just open and you're like, man, where's all this coming from? But it's all the stuff that you actually done from the beginning, right? Just taking the initiative to serve and to share and place value on other people. It's huge.
Right. And being very giving. I mean, I give things away all the time. I mean, there's a running joke at the shop. I can't be involved in anything that has to do with money because I'll just give everybody everything. So, like, for me, just being super giving and genuine. Like, if you come to my shop and you want something here, take it. Like, or can I give you a free sample? Or can I do something to give you something for free? Because I don't want to be just taking from people. I want to provide value back to them.
I already know that you work hard, but there's a group or a segment of people who just believe that success will just come if they work hard. You know, if they just pour their lives into their career. Do you believe this is true without like personal growth or a natural progression to actually get to that level of success?
You can work hard. Anybody can work hard and put everything you have. If you're not putting your heart in it, if you're not putting your passion, if you're not finding a purpose, and then all of your actions that you do are surrounding your purpose and your passion, that you can do all the things right. You can do, work hard, but are you working on the right things? Are you showing up and then, following with an open heart and having your, like, being completely humble and knowing you're checking your ego at the door and knowing that you're gonna be wrong. You're gonna go down a wrong path. So I think working hard and pouring yourself into a career is only one piece. You have to find a full purpose and passion in what you're doing, and then lead that way, lead from your purpose and passion.
It's huge. Too bad too many, I mean, not that many people actually have that. So after they see you on this podcast, I think some lives are going to be transformed, right? Some minds are going to be reset. What kind of resources like have you read that actually get you to where you are? I mean, whether it's recently or in the past that has helped you.
I read a lot. I read, Business Insider and, the more normal, I watch the markets and things that you should do as a business owner. I read business books in general. E-Myth is one that is super, super good. Force Multiplier is a good one if you're trying to lead a team. Anything from Patrick Lencioni, he's amazing. I love Patrick Lencioni. Obviously the Bible, and actually, like, for personal growth stuff, like Buddhist teachings, I really, really like. They resonate a lot with me, even though I am a Christian, but I feel that the Buddhist teachings are really, like, self-growth oriented.
Right.
And there's a book that was introduced to me called Buddhist Boot Camp, and that one was amazing, and I loved it. But I think that you need to kind of work on yourself as, like, very holistically, every aspect, both spiritually, in your career, as a parent, as a, in your relationships, whether it's your relationship with your spouse or your significant other, relationships with your family, relationships with your friends, relationships in general. If you're not working on your life in all aspects, you might be whole in one sit in one way. Maybe you're super successful in business, but now you don't have, really strong relationships because you poured yourself in business. I think working on yourself as a whole person all the time, obviously sometimes you're going to be super into your business, or sometimes you're going to be super into family, sometimes you're going to be super into friends, but in general, finding a balance holistically as a person, and then building your reading and your teaching yourself of yourself and self-growth around being a whole, like, growth as a whole person, not just in one aspect, is what's most important. So yeah, I go on Google. It's like I Google things. I'll just randomly think of, how to help my kids with something, or how to help a friend with something, and I'll just dive into psychology. And but I just read all the time. It's not necessarily just from one book. Oh yeah, all the time, hours, every day,
So there's a
too
lot of
much
personal growth
probably.
and investment in yourself that goes on.
Yes, for sure. Because if I'm not whole as as myself, then I can't serve others well. I can't serve my family well. I can't serve my kids well. I can't serve my employees well. I can't serve my business well. I can't serve friends. How can I serve others if I haven't worked on myself? If I'm selfish, if I'm only thinking of myself, how do you serve others?
You can't, it wouldn't be authentic.
Mm-mm.
And one thing I thought about while you were talking, I was like, how many people just, it's like they know what they need to do, but they just don't take action, right? One of my favorite teachers, even he's passed away, Dr. Miles Monroe, and he said, it's not who you are that's stopping you from growing or getting to the place where you need to be, it's what you think you are not. And so what you just said right there, it resonated and it made me think about Dr. Miles Monroe. It's what you think you are not that prevents you from doing anything.
Well, my purpose wasn't there originally, right? Like, my purpose has changed in the course of the last 3.5 years of having this business. So your purpose can change, but it's becoming more clear. Like, every day, if you keep working on yourself as a whole self, then your purpose just becomes so much more clear and so much more palatable. If I was lazy about that stuff, if I'm lazy about not really trying to find what my purpose is and where my heart is and where I see that I'm making it the most impact on other people, that's where my passion ends up being, is where am I making an impact? Am I making an impact by making a cute, like, mom and, like, bless sign for behind your Like I wasn't finding a passion in home decor. Even though I saw a business opportunity, my heart wasn't in it. But
Right.
it took so much searching and so much growth in me personally. And then also talking to everybody,
Yeah.
always talking to people, talking to different groups of people and finding out like, who am I, who is my heart with, and then who am I making a difference with? And
Yeah.
there's that relationship that you build with other people, then you can follow it.
Now, do you have a pretty tight association or network, like a support, like your own personal like support group that you can actually
Or,
bounce ideas off of, like just for business type stuff?
yeah, so I'm a part of a business group called Vistage, and I love it. I actually have a Vistage group meeting on Tuesday, and it's we meet every month. And it's other business owners for they have all types of businesses. And we meet every month, and then I meet the chair every month. So I have basically two meetings with Vistage a month. And it's been really helpful for me just being around other business owners and getting to talk through the issues that other people don't understand. Like my family and friends don't own businesses for the most part. So I can talk to them about things, but they don't really have the experience behind them to help me through. So it's been really important for me to find
That's good.
that business family.
So do they provide you with like accountability and kind of like a mentorship also?
Definitely.
Yeah.
The chair is the one that's the main person that does the accountability and mentorship. That's why we meet one-on-one every month. And I can call him and text him anytime I want for
Wow.
issues, but also other business owners. If I have an issue that I'm dealing with, I can call another business owner in the group and say, hey, I know that this is something you've dealt with before. Could you help me through something? And then they also do the same with me. And then also the manufacturing, other manufacturing companies within our area, I'm getting to know a bunch of them that do different types of manufacturing. So we like to all go and like see each other's shops and then we call each other for random stuff for manufacturing. Like I had one of my friends call me last Friday and he's like, do you have any 3-inch plastic? I'm like, who has 3-inch plastic? And he's like, well, NASA called me at 6 o'clock at night and they need this part by 8 o'clock in the morning and I can't find 3-inch plastic anywhere. We didn't find, as far as I know, we didn't find it, but we're like, who has 3-inch plastic at 6 o'clock at night? I don't even know what's made of 3-inch plastic. But that's just the kind of stuff that happens that when you get to know a lot of people that you can have just random requests and we'll all answer the phone because we're all very giving. We're all trying to help each other succeed. It's not a one-way street for any of us.
That's ingredient for success right there. Just having a network, accountability, and mentorship. Somebody that could walk alongside you on your journey to actually help you out.
But both, you have to give back
Yeah.
too. You can't just take.
Absolutely.
So the people that are just the takers are the ones that aren't gonna, they'll get pretty far until people realize they're just takers. And then, what they're gonna build up is gonna thin out. And you have to make sure that you're giving at least as much as you're taking. Hopefully you're giving more, because then your bank is full.
And it reminds me of it was a documentary. Do you know who Danny Trejo is? He's a Hispanic
Yes,
actor. So
I've
he
met
was,
him.
did you really?
Yeah.
So he actually shared in his documentary, just the fact that once he started giving and sharing, he said that's when his acting career like really took off. I mean, you have to be in a position to share and give. Otherwise, you're doing it for selfish ambition and don't expect to be successful.
Yeah, I totally agree. And if you even if it's not monetary, even if it's just, showing up when somebody needs help to move, like my manufacturing friends, I needed to move my company and different manufacturing friends came and helped me at different times. And, if they need help, then I go over there and I help them. If you need to come use my machine, come use my machine. So if you're always having that giving mentality, it's always going to end up coming back eventually. It doesn't have to be a one for one, but I don't feel guilty when I receive right now because I know that I just gave tenfold. And if I have to ask for a favor, I'm not just taking.
So, who would you say are the most influential people in your life?
I have three.
Three. Okay.
My grandma is one of them. She is the most kind, giving, loving Christian woman you've ever met in your life. She doesn't have a mean or angry bone in her body, unless you're playing Settlers, which is a little game. But even that, like, she's never angry, ever. And no matter what's been done to her or what people do, she's just so forgiving and so kind, super strong. She's been through a lot. Her dad was murdered, like, just so much that she's gone through, and still to have that love for people is so inspirational for me, and a love of God. And even when I lost my way with God, she's always been so supportive. And then once I found my way back to church, she's like, let me know, I'm gonna come in. So she wanted to come to my church just so she can support me. So she did. They did come. My grandparents came to a sermon with me. But she's really inspirational to me. And then it's all family. So my dad, who passed away last year, and he was the most hardworking person, but also super fun loving. And I swear he made it a personal goal to make people laugh and smile every single day.
Did he
It
really?
didn't matter if it was in the grocery store line, or he's sharing like his flask with people out on the golf course, and like everywhere he went, he just left a path of light. And at his funeral, there's 150 people at least, and that wasn't even half of the people that wanted to go. And every single person had the same thought about just how fun he was, how giving, how hardworking, and always made them laugh. Like he had cancer, and it was eye cancer. And that's a whole nother story, because I was a trauma ICU nurse, and I don't mind any goriness, but I hate eyeballs. And I'm like, Dad, really? You got eye cancer? Like the one thing I hate, like eyeballs, really? Like, so they removed his eye, and we would still joke about it, like all the time. And even on the golf course, he would pretend to like take out his other eye and be like, here, I g give you this eye, because you clearly need it more than I do if somebody did a bad shot. Like, just so funny all the time. Had a great sense of humor, even in the hardest times, which is what my family, all the hard times that we've had, we just laugh about it. We make little jokes, probably inappropriate for most people, but it's how we cope. And it's been really, even in hard times, I can still kind of laugh and smile. And then my brother is the other one, and he's pretty much who's taught my love for my brother. Is where I've seen my most unconditional love. He and I have been through a lot, as a child of divorced parents, and our childhood was not always so great. And he was a Marine, and he's a combat veteran, and did two tours, and the Afghanistan tour was really bad. He has a Purple Heart. He's been in a motorcycle accident as of last year, and then was disabled from it. And then even now, like, he's currently living at my house because his house is evacuated for the Forest Hills fires. So in all of the things that we've been through, he also has that, just the amount of perseverance that he can show and still be like hardworking and not take for granted, and dedicated. And just the amount of perseverance I've been able to see through him is a strength that I really, it's inspirational to me. Even with the motorcycle accident, and now his left arm is never going to work again. He can't ever go be a plumber anymore out on the field. And for somebody who's always worked with his hands, and now to have one hand that he has to kind of flop around, he's still making jokes. He's still putting together, the kids' bunk beds and building stuff. And
That's
he was
great.
up on a 25-foot ladder. Like, why are you on a ladder if you fall? You can't catch yourself, but okay. Just the
Part of
amount of
the guy is
perseverance that he has. Yeah, but it's just inspirational to me that nothing can hold him back. So those three people.
That's wonderful. And I like the fact that they're all family. You don't hear that too often,
Yeah,
right?
I know. I was trying to think of somebody that wasn't family, but like the amount of deep influence that people have. If you have, a close-knit family, or at least a few people in your family that you can look up to, and then you get to see where it took them in their life and the good things. My family have been really fortunate. They've always been really honest about their failures, so that way they can teach you. And this is where I failed here, and this is how I could have done better, and really open about everything in the life, whether it's good or bad. They're not just trying to sugarcoat. So that's probably why it's so deep for me, is because I know all the bad and the good.
In this phase of your life, like, how would you describe success?
How well I impact others. So that's every day. Like, I've been financially very successful. I've been financially barely making ends meet. I don't think finances, when people measure their success by finances, it's actually kind of sad to me, because I'm like, that's, but you don't take money to your grave. Like, what are you going to leave when you're gone? You're going to leave an impact on others. And my dad died last year, and I still feel like he's alive. So in order for me to feel like I'm successful, I'm making a positive impact on other people that I meet. And there's times that, I'm just killing it as a mom. Like, I'm like, yes, I'm doing super good in mom life, and like, my kids are really happy. And then I look at my business, and my business is suffering, right? Because now I don't have balance. I'm just putting all my energy and effort in my kids and their lives, and then my business is now taking a back seat. And then there's other times where my business is like, my relationships and my business are doing super well, and I'm doing really well in my business, and I look at my kids and they're struggling. So for me to find a balance in life where I can impact the things that are important to me without like negatively impacting another thing that's important to me, that's what I'm going to define as success. When I can find that balance without having to look at the other things in my life that are important and say, wow, I'm super failing right there right now. If I can look at like my friends, my family, my kids, my business, and just see in every one of those that I'm doing the best I can and they're not suffering because of, my lack of attention, and I find that balance, that'll be my success.
That's awesome. That is straight up awesome. You're
I
right.
don't have that balance yet, so
But
so
still,
I'm not successful.
but at least you're recognizing it, right? And you acknowledge it. Where most people, it's just like you said, I mean, they're shooting after the money, and that's how they measure success. How much money do they have? And I think that's kind of one of the issues that I see nowadays, just with the youngsters. All they see is a glamour, right? They don't know the journey. So they just think it's relatively easy.
It's not even that it's easy, but you're chasing the wrong thing.
Right.
Like, I've had the really big expensive house and all of that stuff, and didn't, they always say money doesn't buy happiness, and that's, I've had it. I've had that, all of that fancy stuff, and they left it all behind, and I moved into an apartment, and I was probably happier in an apartment than I was in that fancy house. And I always said, when people would come over to that house and they're like, wow, so nice, and it started to kind of eat at me, like, this is what you define as exciting, and you're looking at this house and this material thing as if this is what is going to make you think that I'm happy and successful, and it could burn. Literally, a fire could come through here and it'll all burn. And then what do you have? If you don't have impact on others and a, like a true purpose in your core that's making you happy, then you have nothing. Money isn't going to give you a fulfillment in your core.
Before we end, is there anything that you could say to just the listeners? Just like some parting words of wisdom regarding business and just kind of having faith following your endeavors and your dreams.
I think I've said it a lot
You
about
did.
following your heart and your passion and your purpose, but I think the most important thing is to have a purpose. And then ego is a killer. Like, if you have
Amen.
a big ego, then you're blocked. Like, you're emotionally blocked from other people. And if you can't give your heart to other people, then your purpose and your passion, you're going to have a glass ceiling. You're going to think that you have, the sky is the limit, and you're going to hit a glass ceiling. So I think just making sure to remain humble and keep your humility and find a purpose in what you're doing in life. If you don't have a purpose in what you're doing, then you need to go find, where are you serving? Where are you helping a greater good? And that purpose can't be selfish. It has to be a greater good,
You're
because
absolutely
you'll
right.
never get fulfilled if you're just trying to serve yourself.
I hope you enjoyed the conversation and talk that I just had with Ashley Moyer. I really want to thank her for her time and her energy and her passion for what she does. And I hope you, the listener, was able to take away some valuable information that you can apply to your daily life, just working on yourself to become the best version of you. Hey, next week, please join me. I'm going to have Mr. Ernest and Ronnie Kaysen, also known as Snooks and Lovey, Married Into Crazy, coming on the scene. It's going to be a two-part series, and you don't want to miss neither one of them. You all have a blessed week and Merry Christmas.